Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
All right, let's jump into the message today, and my timer says I have 21 minutes. But I just believe I'm the pastor of this church, and I can take as much time as I want. So anyway, I want to wrap up our series. I hope the wisdom series has helped you a little bit. And I'm excited about next week. We're going to start a brand new series called For the Win. And we're going to talk about everybody needs a team. And we'll talk a little bit. This is almost a prequel to the next series. We're going to start talking about friendships, relationships, and how you need a team and why everybody needs a team, and you were never created to live life alone, and we're going to be talking about that. But I want to look at what Solomon had to say. Remember our series, the wisest man who ever lived, the richest man who ever lived, the most famous man who ever lived, and he is going to talk to you about relationships. And I want to just cover kind of three thoughts. We've already done the altar service today, but I want to give you three thoughts. One is how to relate to people that are above you. And there are people above you. It's called authority. There should be authority in every sphere that you are in. There's authority in this school. There's going to be authority in a classroom. There's going to be authority in the church. There's going to be authority. I'm under authority. There's authority in our Savior's church. Pastor Jacob is the senior authority. I would not even be here if he didn't give me authority in this house. Are you with me? All authority comes from somewhere. You don't just get it. It has to come from somewhere. It comes from, and the authority that I have in this house was given to me by our senior leader to have authority in this house. So this house is run by authority. Your home is run by authority. There's headship there. It's like the old that old movie, you know, with My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the lady says, oh, he's the head of the house, but I'm the neck, and I can turn the head whichever way I want it to. There is some truth in that, isn't there? There's authority. So he's going to talk, Solomon talks about how to relate to authority, and I want to talk to you about it, because there's authority at your job. There's your boss or your supervisor, unless you own your own company. And then you need authority. Every man needs authority in their life. Every woman needs some authority. You need it. And Solomon's going to talk about that. And so, but he's also going to talk about the relationships that walk beside you. And then I want to just talk, and then lastly, I want to give you what I think is probably missing in our culture and in our society, but I hope it's not missing in this house. Let me say that again. Something that our culture is missing, but it shouldn't be missing in the house of God. And we'll talk about that in just a second. So because my time is short, I'm just going to jump into, I'll slice something out here in a moment and make sure you get to lunch on time. All right? Let's go ahead and look at those in authority. Oh, let me say this before I start. The quality of your life, I'm quoting Pastor Jacob, the quality of your life will be determined. The quality of your life will be determined by friendships, the friendships that are in your life, and how you resolve conflict. If you resolve it. If you don't resolve conflict, then you're always going to have turmoil in your life. And so I want to talk about first the relationship between you and authorities. And that could be the police officer that pulls you over. That could be Pastor you in this house. That could be your supervisor at your job. That could be how to deal with your husband. Girls, I'm going to help you out this morning. You're going to love me or hate me, one of the two, after this message. And so how to deal with authority. And so let's go and begin. And Solomon is going to give you a great piece of advice. Now listen, here's the wisest man who ever lived. With patience, everybody say patience. Can we highlight that for next one? I think I forgot to highlight that. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. Let me take that word patience, break it down to you. Another translation may say the word forbearance, which means patient, self-controlled, restraint, and tolerance. How do you deal with authority? Solomon's telling you, with forbearance, restraint, tolerance, patience, and self-control is how you do. How would you deal with that? Let me give you a biblical example that I think is probably one of the greatest examples in the Bible of someone who, with patience, a ruler may be persuaded. That's usually not how we try to persuade someone in authority, is it? No, we try to prove our point. We try to stand up and say, well, it shouldn't be that way. We try to stand up and make the boss make some change. Well, this place is a terrible place to work, and here's why. And he's letting you know, no, if you want to change what the ruler's heart is, that's not the way you do it. It's with patience. It's with self-control, with tolerance. Can you persuade the ruler or those in authority? In the Old Testament, and I'll give you the highlight reel, there was David and his mighty men were out in the wilderness. He's been running from Saul. He's going to be the next king. He's just not there yet. Saul's still in the king. There's a man by the name of Nabal who had, the scripture says, has over 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. In Bible times, that means he was ballin'. Brother was rich. He sends all of his shepherds out to go and graze their flocks, and they come to the land that David is settled in. David and his men befriend the shepherds and end up being the protection for Nabal's flocks. They'd never met Nabal, but they befriended the shepherds, were there, they received them, they became friends, they protected the sheep from other marauders or bandits and protected them. And then when grazing season was over, they went back home to Nabal. They began to shear the sheep. They came at the end of the sheep season and began to shear them. And that was a time where they would call out some, kill some of the sheep or goats for food. And David sent some of his boys to Nabal's house and said, hey, Nabal, we come on behalf of David. While your men were out in the fields for months grazing those flocks, we were there. And we protected them. We befriended your, we made sure not one of your goats or one of your sheep were lost. And we are in need. We are in need of some food. Would you mind providing for us a few of the lambs and a few of the goats for our nutrition food? Nabal says, I don't know no David. I don't know what you did for me. You go back and tell David, raise his own sheep. And so when David gets that word back, he gets up and gets his men. He's angry and says, I'll kill everyone. He will not have another man standing in the morning. So he gets, I think, 400 of his men, swords, all, they're coming. Abigail, Nabal's wife, finds out about it. She found out what a servant girl comes and says, this is what happened. And your husband said, no way, and insulted David, the next king. And Abigail says, here's what I want you to do. Get 200 fig cakes. Get many loaves of bread. Get 5 goats, 5 sheep. Load them up and start going on the road towards David before he gets here. And she says, I'll follow behind. And so guess what happens? David's coming. He's riding. He's ticked. He's mad. This guy insulted me. I protected everything. He would have lost 10 times that if it wasn't for me protecting. All I asked was for a little. David's going to kill him. And all of a sudden, David's flying around. All of a sudden, here comes a donkey with a maidservant. What is this? Oh, hi, David. My master wanted me to send you 200 fig cakes. Well, okay. All right, get the fig cakes, boys. I'm still going to kill him. And he's riding along. And all of a sudden, here comes another maidservant with donkeys. Yes, hi, David. My master wanted me to give you all these loaves of bread. Oh, that's so kind. Thank you. Load him up. But I'm still going to kill him. And he keeps writing, and you see what keeps happening. Every time he keeps running into more food and all the things that he wanted, plus everything else that he didn't ask for. And then, of course, last, there is Abigail. And Abigail kneels before him and just says, "Would you please forgive my husband?" I'm translating. He's an idiot. How many of you girls have ever translated for your husband? What was this? With patience, with tolerance, with a soft answer, a ruler is persuaded. I never approach Pastor Jacob and go, "You know what this church needs to do? If this church would just do this." Instead, I go, "Hey, Pastor, I was noticing a couple things, and I thought this might be an answer. Maybe we can adjust that, change it with patience, tolerance, and a soft answer." Years ago, I would say to Pastor Jacob something like this: "Pastor Jacob, we need to start small groups." Yeah. 6 months later, "Pastor Jacob, you know, what if we started small groups and we did this, and here's a plan?" Yeah. It took about 2 years before our church actually started small groups, years and years ago. But it wasn't because, "You know what we need to be doing? We need to be doing this." By the way, you know what happens? David doesn't go and kill Nabal. He releases him. He lets him go. He lets him off the hook. But you know what God did? 7 days later, Nabal is struck with a stroke. And 10 days later, he dies. And that lady, who was Abigail, the Bible says she was gorgeous, one day becomes David's wife. He didn't just get the sheep. Come on, somebody. Were y'all here last week when little Gavin went, "Eli, you fry." That little kid, you know, little Gavin, he's like, "Eli, you fry." And y'all laughed. He said, "Come on, somebody." What is it? With patience. Like, young people, listen to me. Young people in the room, you're about to go back to high school, junior high. It's not with pouting and arguing that you turn your parents' hearts. In fact, you do just the opposite. When you argue with your parents or you pout with them, you make them, you cause them to build their defenses of what their decision was even deeper. That's not the way you do it. In fact, we taught our children from a young age and say, "Look, you can always appeal any decision your mother or father has made, but you better do it with the right heart." So they learn through the years. They go, "I think that's a stupid decision." Well, good. That's the right one. You think it's stupid? It's right. We sticking to it. But they learn through the years to go, "Mom and Dad, can I sit with you?" "Sure. What you got, baby?" "Yeah. Y'all are awesome parents. Y'all are amazing. And you did make a decision the other day that I would like to talk about, and I would like to appeal." Well, how many of you know your heart is open to that conversation, but it's not open to your pouting? Mama would say, "You got mad in those pants, you can get glad in those pants." Are you hearing me, young people? To appeal to your parents instead of argue and pout. That's how you persuade the ruler's heart. To go to your boss and instead of coming up with everything that's wrong, maybe presenting solutions that may be better, but with patience, because it may take a while for their heart to open to that. Most of us didn't get the promotion we deserved, not because of our performance, but because of our attitude and our posture. I'm trying to help you. Balcony, I'm trying to help you. It's with patience, a ruler. This is what Solomon's saying to you. Wife, listen to me. Maybe it's I know your girls' problem. Your problem is not what you think. And your problem is not, I got to be careful here. I'm kind of stepping out in the water. I'm like Peter getting out on the boat. No, it's your timing. Thank you, Uncle Russ. I got one brave man up here. The rest of you are you're scared. It's the timing. It's learning to go, you know what? I want to appeal to my husband's heart. You think you can do it by nagging him to death, but all you did was reposition him even deeper into what his thoughts were instead of appealing to him. Baby, I know that's a decision you make, but I want to, with patience, I want to, look, can we talk about that again? Is this a good time? Is this a good time? How many, there's no good time, but there's better times than not. And you can sit down and discuss it. Are y'all receiving from what he's saying here? Yeah. Look, when the police officer pulls you over, don't go, I wasn't doing nothing. Why don't you just go, thank you, sir. I'm sorry, did I do something? It's with patience, tolerance, forbearance that you open up the heart of the one in authority towards you. If you're kind, he may give you a warning. If you are a jerk, you almost guarantee you're getting the ticket. Are y'all tracking with me? All right, so you go, how? What? He's talking to us with patience, forbearance. A ruler may be persuaded. Authority may be persuaded. And a soft tongue, very important, a soft tongue will help change a leader's mind. So I want to just point this out to you. Let me give you the second one real quick, and Vic's going to help me, but it's going to take me a while because I'm going to get through all this. Let me give you the second one right here. Solomon also talks not just your relationship to authority. By the way, we've all worked for people we don't respect. Heidi and I have been in church for years. I have worked for pastors, Pastor Jacob not being one of them, I respect highly. I have worked for pastors I didn't respect and didn't want to be like. It's like there's nothing about their marriage I wanted, nothing about their leadership I wanted. God was teaching Heidi and I what not to do. Not what to do, but what not to do. But I still had to give respect and honor to the office that they hold because God put them there. The Bible says all authority has been set up by God. You go, you don't know my boss. If you want to get rid of your boss, you need to change your own heart, and then God might remove them and put a new boss in there or give you the job. No, you usually get the authority you deserve. Or God uses to bring something in your own heart and in your own life. And so let me give you the second thought just on leadership and our relationships. Solomon also talks to not only the relationships above you, and there is God's preparing you for authority. So he puts you under leadership that you're learning, going, ooh, if I'm ever in that position, I'm not going to do that. With forbearance and tolerance. I'm going to tolerate. That's just the way they do things. Okay. God, it's all you. Thank you for this job. Save my boss. Save my husband. And then watch, he also talks about the relationships beside you. It's probably the most famous of Solomon's when he talked about, hey, I want you to prosper. Remember, biblical prosperity, having what you need to accomplish the assignment God's given you. And then he says this in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. When you walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools, and you get in trouble. It's real simple. Well, let me give you the Passion version. This is a translated version of this same verse. If you want to grow in wisdom. Anybody here want to grow in wisdom? You want to get wiser? If you want to grow in wisdom, then spend time with the wise. Walk with the wicked, and you'll eventually become just like them. Yeah, but I got my partners, I got my crew. Listen, you don't break the principles of God. The principles of God will break you. Either you go, man, I'm hearing this, And maybe, listen, if you'll pursue God, I promise you, if your crew is not pursuing God, they'll flake out eventually. Because they go, I don't want what you want. There may be some who come with you, though, and say, dude, I see the change in you. I'm going that way, too. I want to go that way as well. He was talking to us. Look, if you want to grow in wisdom, spend time with the wise. There's a debate in sports. Who's the greatest basketball player, NBA player of all time? It's going on even now. I mean, you just list the four big ones. Of course, you got Larry Bird. Michael Jordan. Magic Johnson. Larry Bird. And then you get down to the players today. Kobe. And of course, you got LeBron. And there's a debate. How many say Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player ever lived? And see, yeah, all right. Just give a shout. Ooh. Larry Bird. I watched that special, and he said, this guy's talking to me, he said, this is an African-American basketball player. He goes, man, I didn't think white people could play basketball, man. That dude could play. Larry Bird. Magic? Any Magic lovers? Kobe? Nah. LeBron. Yeah. King James. Here's what I know about every one of those players. Every one of those players. And every player that's ever played with them. This is what they'll say. He made me better. He made me better. You know what Solomon's saying to us? Hang around people that make you better, not people that make you go back to the old way of life. People that help you pursue the things of God, not go back. If you've got relationships in your life that you're still closely connected to that make you go, when you're with them, you go back. Solomon's talking to you. You're going to end up becoming one of them. It's your choice. You just decide. You're going to decide which one you're going to be. If you want to be wise, you can even be foolish and hang out with wise people and become wiser all along. That's good preaching. I don't care who you are. That's good preaching. Okay? And then let me give you this last thing, and we'll cut it short today. But let me give you this last thought. Let me give you this last one. And I want to give you something that I think is kind of missing in our culture. And I just want it to be a hallmark of our lives. Let it be a fruit that comes out when you walk into this house. Can I just be your pastor for a moment? I want it to be a hallmark of when you walk into this house. This is how we behave. And I love this. I love this passage in Proverbs 22:11. I think it's so powerful. It says, whoever loves a pure heart, and can we highlight this? Pure heart and gracious speech will have the king as a friend. Let me say it again. Whoever loves a pure heart and gracious speech. Would you say that with me? Gracious speech will have the king as a friend. If you have a pure heart and gracious, look at this, guys. These guys are good, huh? Pure heart and gracious speech. What this means is you'll have friends that you can't believe you have. If you're going, man, I ain't got no friends. Pastor, you're talking, all I got is the crew. I'm trying to find some new. No, no, no. He's telling you how. Love, pure heart, and be gracious in your speech. Gracious. Precious with a man with a pure heart, gracious speech. Great men choose him as a friend. It begins with pure heart, one free from bitterness, envy, guile, hypocrisy, malice, pride, or selfishness. Such hearts produce gracious words, acceptable, agreeable. You're not disagreeable, you're agreeable, courteous, forgiving, gentle, kind, merciful, pleasing words. And this combination is so delightful and so rare that when you meet someone that is gracious, you automatically go, I love that dude, or I love that woman, because they're gracious. Have you ever met someone like that? A gracious person sticks out like a sore thumb, like a lily among thorns, the Bible says. Gracious. They're so gracious. So kind of, there's a few of you here that in our church that stick out in my mind like that. In fact, when I was preparing this, I was going over it with Heidi, and I said, who are the most gracious people we've ever met in our life? And I had someone in mind. And she goes, Billy Bob and Thelma Lou. She said the same exact people that I had in my mind. Why? Because they stick out like a sore thumb. Gracious, that we would be gracious to one another. Gracious, gracious speech. You'd be gracious to your husband. Can I get an amen from the men? And that you'd be gracious to your wife. Can I get an amen, girls? And that you'd be gracious to one another. That you'd be gracious when you're in traffic. If you're not gracious, get that Old Town sticker off your car. Because you ain't driving like Jesus. You're driving like the devil. No. If you do it right, gracious. It's the most beautiful character trait. A gracious person. You often describe them. They are beautiful people, or they're charming. You often say that. They're pleasant. It's sweet pleasure to be around them. In fact, you crave their company. You love being with them. In fact, you always say, we got to get together with them. I want that to be said about every one of you. We can't wait to get together with them because they're gracious. And then he says, you won't even believe one day who will be your friend. Kings will be your friend. Solomon's talking to us today. If I can conclude today and Solomon's message to all of us, if I could take the one portion of Proverbs that capitalizes the entire book. You know, if you go from Genesis to Revelation and you took out one scripture that talks about Genesis to Revelation, what is the Bible about? There's one verse that says what the Bible's about. Do you know what summarizes it all? You know what verse that is, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Well, if we did the same thing to the book of Proverbs, it would say this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Watch this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. Yeah. Watch this. Let me give you the Passion Version translated. Trust in the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. Don't rely on them with all your heart. Rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Trust. You know the word trust means? It means to lay completely on. Lay on. In fact, the Hebrew, the metaphor is lay in bed. You ever just lay in, you just put all your weight. Just what's that? What's this dance move? What do they call this? Russell, what's that called? The Bernie. Yeah. Lay it all. Lean not. Lean is the word picture is the man walking with a cane. It doesn't mean don't use your intellect. It just says don't lean on it. Put all of your trust in him. Doesn't mean you don't use your brain. It just says you put your trust in God. He's working it out for your good. He's working it. Put your trust in him. How's this going to work out? Well, baby, I tell you what we're going to do. And you, mama, you say to him, baby, we still need to trust in God. Let's put all of our weight on him. And then he says, and then in all your ways, acknowledge him. Everybody say acknowledge. And that means to know intimately him. I don't know the president. I mean, I know who he is, but I can't call him. White House. Hey, this is Pastor Yu down in O-Town. Hey, I'd like to talk to the president. How many of you know that ain't going nowhere? Right? He's going, sorry. Well, he's busy. Give us your number. Well, maybe he'll call you. It ain't happening. He's not calling. I don't know, but I know her. I know her. We've had almost 30 years of knowing each other. Weird things happen when you've been married 20 plus years. You start answering each other's, finishing each other's sentences before you already know what they're going to say before they even say it. You could be out with another couple and you start a story and she'll finish the story, or vice versa. We drive down the road all the time. We're going to go eat. We're going to eat somewhere. Yeah, let's go eat somewhere. Great, great. Baby, where do you want to go? She goes, I don't care. Okay, first of all, that's a lie. She does care. That's a lie. She cares. And I'll usually throw something out because just to prove that she really does care, I'll say, good, let's go get some chicken wings. She goes, no, I'm not chicken wings. She said you don't care. You're a liar. You lie, you fry. Come on, somebody. No, and she'll go, I don't care. Wherever you want to go, and then that's not true either. And I'll say, okay, I know where we need to go. And I'll say, let's go to, and I'll name the restaurant. And she'll go, I was just thinking that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you get older and married, you start become, you know each other. You know how each other's going to respond. You just know. That's what he's talking about. Just trust him. Put all your weight on him. Put all this. It's on you. Don't lean on this, but just acknowledge him. Lord, I just want what you want. I don't care, Lord. You choose what restaurant we go to. I don't care. I know you. And then it says what? And he will lead you in every decision. This is what it does mean. Just so. It doesn't mean or direct your path. Here's what it really means. Here's a better translation. I'll remove obstacles out of your way. I'll do the removing. You won't even have to. You're going to get to places you never thought you could get, but I'm going to remove all the things out of your way so you can actually get there. I'm going to be working before you. That's what he's saying to you. That's the promise. Do you receive this word today? I know some of you need to repent for your... I got to repent. I haven't respected the authority, and I want to do what Solomon says. I want to be able to persuade the king instead of be in combat with the king, with the authority. I need to change that. I need to change some of my friends because I want to be wise. And then thirdly, I need some more grace. I need to be gracious. I need to... If you are gracious, people, friends will be attracted to you. If you're gracious, kind, encouraging to everybody. Nobody's encouraging me. Why don't you try encouraging others? And if you'll encourage others, whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. You receive that today? I want you to bow your heads. Father, we do. We come before you. We thank you for the wisdom of Solomon because we know you gave it to him. This is you really talking to us. Father, we receive today. And just right where you're at, whatever the Holy Spirit has put a conviction on your heart, just ask him, God, forgive me for that. Forgive me. Help me. Help me to be better. Help me to be gracious. Help me to respect authority. Forgive me for my relationship to my husband, the way I've disrespected authority. Or to my boss, how I haven't respected it. Father, forgive me. Lord, help me to be gracious. Help me to choose wisely on my friendship. Help me, Father. And Lord, most of all, we're going to put our trust in you. Help me to put my trust in you, to weigh all of my weight, everything, on you. And Father, I know you'll direct our paths and make it straight. We receive your word today, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, can we give God all the praise and glory for his word? Amen.